This message comes from NPR sponsor MassMutual. The Financial Educators Council says 39% of Americans don't have someone to go to for financial advice, but you can plan for the short and long term with someone backed by 170 years of financial expertise at massmutual.com.
Hey, I'm Tony from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, I'm Matthew from Turner's Falls, Massachusetts.
Hi, I'm Josh Newman from Toronto, Canada.
The Sound of Young America is an independent production supported by listeners like me.
If you'd like to donate to support the show, go to MaximumFun.org.
And click on donate.
It's the Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. This week's program was recorded live in New York City at WNYC Radio. Let's go now to my conversation with hip-hop video director Rick Cordera. He's directed videos for artists like Nas, Jay-Z, Busta Rhymes, and The Roots, among others. And in the process, he's helped revolutionize the way music videos are made.
I grew up in the 90s, and a lot of the videos back then were just so driven by materialism and stuff. So, you know, I just decided to go the opposite route and just do stuff that's really bare bones.
You remember, I mean, I think the iconic Jay-Z video, actually, yeah, of the 90s might be Big Pimpin'.
Yeah.
Where it's this, you know, spectacular yacht, mm-hmm, and they're cruising through the sea.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, wearing like captain hats made out of $1,000 bills.
And it's amazing, you know, and it was great for that time because there was so much money, you know, in the music industry. So they had like $500,000 to burn on a 3-minute video, you know. So I'm often criticized as like lowering the standards of the entire hip hop industry. But, you know, like if I left, it would still, you know, the budgets wouldn't suddenly rise. You know what I mean? So it's really just adapting to the technology.
What was the first proper music video that you ever directed?
The first one that got attention?
Yeah, okay, I'll go with that, sure.
I would say it was The Roots, 75 Bars. It was actually a treatment I wrote for Mobb Deep, which, if you're familiar with hip-hop, you know, those dudes are really kind of street and
they're super
angry.
Scary. I was watching this.
They're like this tall.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. I was watching the video for one of their first iconic tracks, Shook Ones, a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And they literally look like 11-year-olds. But they look like 11-year-olds that would just cut you open with a broken bottle in a second. Like just if you took one of their Jolly Ranchers or something.
Yeah.
And then they would cry about it also.
Yeah, so I wrote a treatment for them, and they rejected it. I think it was too violent, and Questlove saw it and was like, "Wow, this is great!"
You know, what was it?
It was like about a music exec getting tied up and kidnapped and burned alive, and Black Thought and Questlove thought it was really great. They're used to getting treatments where they're, you know, playing instruments and, you know, live band kind of stuff. So
they probably get a lot of treatments where it's like, okay, the band is on stage at poetry night.
Yeah, exactly.
There's Nag Champa in the air.
Yeah, like, we've done that. So, but actually, the really cool Roots video we did was Birthday Girl with Sasha Grey,
who's a noted adult film actress and also was recently in the Steven Soderbergh film.
Right, yeah. It was interesting directing her.
In what way? Okay, so let's talk about this for a second.
No,
because that song and that video were seen by many as like a big departure for it. They featured one of the guys from Fall Out Boy,
well,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, on the song. And the fans were just so upset that the song was on a Roots album, you know. So, you know, they decided to take the song off, but they wanted to do a video for it. And but they didn't want to be in it. So it was like, you know, so it was my job to kind of make the album sell without it being on the album and not have them in the video. So it was like, all right, let's put Sasha Grey in there and, you know, let's do like this To Catch a Predator kind of theme. And that was kind of the whole concept behind that.
It seems like one of the things that you have to do when you're put in this situation of making something that's going to capture people's minds without, you know, spending $1 million on, you know, mm-hmm, almost naked women and like yachts, yeah, and, you know, the $1,000 bill hats. Mm-hmm. is you have to, you're forced to come up
with
something. Have you do you ever find yourself at a loss?
Like as far as like what else can I do without money?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think with hip hop it's really cool to, I mean, when you do something that's minimalist and different, it's accepted because it's almost like just the stereotype of hip hop, you know, and the videos is just existed for so long. And it's stuff that if you apply it to like an indie rock genre, no one would, you know what I mean? Like it wouldn't really be interesting because just everyone's kind of jaded, you know, to those videos. But like when you apply it to like a hip hop video, it's like, wow, that's exciting. I've never seen a guy just rapping with emotion. And also like a lot of our videos are narrative based, you know, so I'm not really too interested in putting a rapper in front of like 1,000 lights, you know, and like shooting at all these cool angles. I'd rather put him in a storyline and, you know, that's more interesting to me.
We were just in Philadelphia yesterday and the day before, and Philadelphia has this really vibrant culture of hip hop filmmaking. And they make these really intense DVDs that are just like, I guess everybody has a, you know, a flip cam looks halfway decent now, but there was like a time when it was basically just people like holding up like a giant, you know, VHS camcorder and pointing it at someone and they would, you know, spit some rhymes and then talk about which specific guy they were going to shoot.
Right. Those like the, you know, the street DVDs, the smack DVDs. And like, so when I came into the game, that was what existed. You had the street DVDs and you had these big expensive videos. So I was like, well, what can I do that sort of fits in the middle? And that's when YouTube just came out. So when YouTube came out, we just started like shooting like crazy, you know, and it was a great opportunity for the labels to do stuff with their artists that, you know, you had the mainstream single, but you also had the street single. And, you know, you could get that out to the masses. It didn't cost a lot of money. And you could be more creative.
Were there directors who had gone before you who had done things that you admired and wanted to emulate with the understanding that, you know, you could never even afford just probably Hype Williams' light setup, much less the rest
not
of
even
the
his
things.
Catering. I don't think I could afford But I actually, what's interesting, I actually sat down with Chris Robinson, who was really, really prolific. Video director. I think he doesn't get enough credit as much as Hype, but he's been such an inspiration to me because he was doing what I was doing, but you know, obviously in a different level. But speaking to him, it was so interesting to see, like, he went through the same things as I go through. You know, I thought I was the only one who was just getting beat up all the time, you know, and like, but he went through, you know, like people threatening him on set and like.
When you say beat up all the time, do you literally beat up all the time?
No, well.
Didn't one guy get shot in Busta Rhymes' video like 2 years ago?
Yeah, that wasn't me.
Okay, that wasn't my set. Good check, okay.
Yeah, I'd probably be doing something else if that happened on my set. But no, just, you know, like dealing with labels and, you know, and the thing about hip-hop videos is there's always one thing that you can always guarantee will be there, and that's the entourage. At least like 15 to 20 people.
Can you guarantee that the MC is going to show up?
No, usually the entourage comes like an hour earlier. They're always on time, and they always eat all the food. Always, so.
So it's almost a wrangling project as
It's like 60% wrangling and then like 40%, oh, we're losing light, you know, let's get our shots done.
I talked about how prolific you are, and I think, you know, unless you're a guy like me who, you know, subscribes to the RSS feed of On Smash and sees all the new hip-hop videos, it's tough to get a sense of the proportion of hip-hop videos that you've directed over the past couple of years. How does spending all this time shooting with a new concept and new talent and a new project for, you know, 3 days every week, how does that change the way that you make a feature film?
Doing a feature film compared to shooting a hip-hop video is a lot easier than you'd think, you know? And it's almost like if you can get through the training and the boot camp of shooting hip-hop videos, you could pretty much do anything.
That's why Hype Williams' Belly is one of the greatest films ever made.
It is. I mean, you know, for that time, it was like it was amazing, and I think
it's very well lit.
Yeah, very well lit.
Beautiful.
Very well lit. So my film was. My film was a lot was you know not too not too different from that in that it was like you know it's obviously a hip hop influence to it, but it's basically about a kid who's about to go to jail and he throws his mom a surprise birthday party before he leaves, and that's it. For me, it was really not trying to jump into you know the same kind of tricks that I would use for a music video and really take my time with the shots and. You know, and it was a small budget, so a lot of our angles were just kind of like medium shots, just like this. So we only had like one light that would, you know, light our actors. But for some reason, it won the award at the HBO Latino Film Festival. And, you know, I just think it's a testament to what this generation of filmmakers can do. It's just about the story and the characters.
Was it a relief to get to do that, to get to kind of sit with some characters instead of...
It was something I was working on for like, it took like 5 years to develop. When you try to do a feature, you always get caught into like the budget and you need $1 million to tell a story, you know, and, you know, I just listened to the wrong people and, you know, my wife finally said, why don't you just make the film? You know, what are you waiting for? And, you know, I just did it, so...
Well, Rick, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the San Diego American.
Thanks, Jesse.
It was so great to have you. Rick Cordero.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Rick Cordero's second feature film, Inside a Change, is currently playing film festivals. You can find out more information about Rick and his work at 321media.com. 3-T-H-R-E-E-21-2-1-media.com. That's our time for another Sound of Young America program. I've been your host, Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart. The show produced by Speaking Into Microphones with special help on live production and direction this week from our editor, Nick White. Our theme music was provided to us by Dan Wally, and you can find us online at MaximumFun.org, where you can find our brand new Max Fun store featuring super, ultra, awesome stuff for you to spend your money on. Let's put it simply, huh? If you have thoughts about the show, you can email me directly. My personal email address, my real email address, the one that my mom uses, is Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, at MaximumFun.org. Jesse at MaximumFun.org. We'll see you next time right here on The Sound of Young America.
Tour posters for our live shows in New York and Philadelphia were printed by VGKids.com, who have been screen printing shirts, posters, and more in Ypsilanti, Michigan for 10 years. Online at VGKids.com. Production of The Sound of Young America is underwritten in part by Ask Metafilter. Thousands of life's little questions answered. Online at ask.metafilter.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Delta Airlines. When you think about it, half the trips the world takes are trips home, and those at Delta are travelers just like you. That's why they try to make you feel at home long before you even get there.
On this week's episode of Wildcard, actor Chris Pine tells us it's okay not to be perfect.
My film got absolutely decimated when it premiered, which brings up for me one of my primary triggers or whatever is like not being liked.
I'm Rachel Martin. Chris Pine on how to find joy in imperfection. That's on NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, the game where cards control the conversation.